Today's daf in Masechet Gittin is daf Nun. Is that correct? Amazing. My gosh. Chamish Shari Bina before we even start. We're just starting here. Okay. So, gentlemen, if you recall, we've been talking about the differences in the modes of collection. We were wondering whether we could disprove Mar Zutra, who says that the entire discussion about Ksuvas Isha being Ziburis is dafka work you're collecting from Yesemin. And even though anything that you collect from Yesemin would have to be Ziburis, the Chiddush of the Mishnah was that you would have thought that Ktuvat Isha is different because of Chino. We were trying to bring Raya's back and forth about whether it's possible that that is correct, that the Mishnah would really be changing its cases, which didn't make sense. So yesterday, the last thing that we had was, if we're going to be talking about all cases being the same, then how could you possibly say it's B'nai Yatomin if it says in the Mishnah that Nezikin is B'idit and Bachov is B'Benin is, and it's in the same case that Ktuva is B'Ziburis. The same case means that it's not from Yatomim, because certainly the Edith and Benedict wasn't from Yatomim in the cases of Nezikin and Balkov, respectively. So it doesn't make any sense. And we came up with this brilliant answer that we were talking about, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that we were really talking about exactly the same case where we had an Arev. And we're talking about collection from an Arev. And the issue is, and this was the Chiddush, that an Arev will always pay according to what the, and the Arev in this case is daddy, so he accepted responsibility for his son's damages, his son's loans, and his son's ksuva. That's a very modern daddy. Yeah. We know what trouble he's going to get into. Don't worry about it. Don't call the cops. Just call daddy. Okay. So therefore, we said that an Arev will always pay according to what the situation would have been if the money was available from the principals. In this case, cases that would be collected from his son in his lifetime, and that would only be Nezikin and Benanis. So those things, Nezikin and Debalkov, so those things he's accepting to pay as if he were the son who is alive. The case of the Ksuvas Isha, which is being paid out to an almana, the son wouldn't be alive, he's paying it out to an almana. So therefore, that he pays Biziburis because it's from Yesemi. And the Chiddush is, even though it's Isha, and you might have thought Mishum China, it should be different, it's still only going to be Biziburis. Pretty catchy case. But yesterday we ran into a little bit of a problem, in that it's a very impressive case, although a little hard to believe, but let's assume it's a pretty impressive case. The only problem is you can't become an Arev on a Ketuvah, because as we said yesterday, look, I mean, nobody really loses any money. You know what I mean? The guy's at a wedding, everybody's dancing around, they're happy. Did anybody give out any cash? No. So they're asking him to sign on this document for which nobody, I mean, what am I doing by signing? I'm making people feel more comfortable. If they're crazy enough to get married in the first place, you know, they'll go get married. It's not as if they nobody lost any money. So he never really believes that he's being mishapen himself. And therefore, it's a not a strong enough type of signature to be meaningful. It's like, come off it. I mean, what do you think? I signed this, you know, 40 years ago. These guys were having fun. Nobody lost any money. So now he doesn't have money to pay the ksuva. Tough luck. I'm certainly not going to pay it. So how do we get a case where you could be mishtabed? I mean, understand, for loans, you could be mishtabed. People lose money on a loan. The guy's lending somebody money because I signed. Obviously, I'm taking that very seriously. I'm not playing games. But if I sign an exuva, they say, guy's getting married because I signed an exuva. Right. That's silly. Okay, so then how are you going to explain that the case would be talking about an arev d'ktuva lo mishtabed? And we answered yesterday, Bikablan. Three lines up from the bottom on Memtet Amud Beit. So Bikablan essentially means that by a loan, what a Kablan means is all you need to do is you say, you give him the money and I'm responsible. That's not the same thing as saying I guarantee the loan. That's saying, just give him the money, I'm going
to
pay.
Come to me.
Come to me. So that means he becomes now the first resort to payment. By a kablan of a ktuva, you can't say that, because he's not saying you give the money, what money? Therefore, Rashi understands that the kablan of a ktuva actually is effectuated by the person setting aside, let's say, metalteling for the ketubah. He says, okay, here's the safe deposit box. Give the key, the safe deposit box, to the kabbalah now, who's going to return it to the guy, which means that he is taking responsibility. So he gives it back to, in this case, it's his son. He gives it back to his son. But in taking it from her, giving it back, he's taking responsibility as if money was actually put out. So it's like a formal, most Rishonim don't agree with Rashi. It has to be literally a formal giving of money. And they said that that's what is meant by saying, I will pay. It's as if money was transferred by being matfis, metaltelim, and so on. Okay, that's really not our sugya over here, kablanut and arvut, but we get into it only in order to be able to explain the case in the Mishnah. These are some of the most complex sugyas about how to be mishtabed for money and so on, and it's not a gittin sugya. So let's hold off on the details until we get to Bab Metzia and all of these inyonim of loans and so on. So heinich leman deomer kablan, the problem is that we have a further question, and that is there really a she'ibud that people will make where there is no property that is available for the payment of the loan? So that's a machlokas. There is a man who says, Kablan, afogav de let le nitzel lelove mishta abed. Question is whether people in general want to see some reality to the person's that they're guaranteeing ability to pay. Yeah, so there's got, if there's some collateral, then I take this seriously, he's making a loan. If there's nothing that the guy has to pay, this is not a loan to him, it's a loan to me. So we're playing games. You borrow money and I'll be a kablan. You want to give him the money, borrow the money, you'll give him the money. So we don't believe that if it's not a serious loan, that we could say that a kablan is mishabin nafshe. And that's a machlokas. So some say dafka, it had to be that there was at least a lien against property. So then, let's say something happens to the property. It's shot for now, the government takes it, whatever. Okay, so then you come to me, you don't even go to him. But the first, remember that property itself acts as an arev. It guarantees the loan. So if you're going to say that a kablan afagav de letle nitzel of mishtabed, I can say that here we're talking about that he was mishtabed. But if you're telling him, l'man d'yomer, yitle mishtabed, yitle lo mishtabed, my ikel omeymar. So if we're saying that there was property, and that property was essentially the first course of collection, so then this whole thing doesn't make sense. Because here we're talking about where there are no nechasim to these yitomim, because otherwise why are we coming to the arev? The chasim are themselves the arev. So then how would we be able to say that the case is talking about an arev kablan? This is how Rashi understands this. Now, Tosis points out the obvious problem. And that is, but we're not talking about an arev Rashi, we're talking about a kablan. And the point of a kablan is that he's the first resort of repayment. So how can you prove that there was no property just because we're coming to the kablan and we're trying to explain the case of the Mishnah is a reference to a kablan? And he leaves that problem with Rashi standing, and he gives a different approach to the sugya. Now, Lamaisa, there is a shita that holds that in the same way that the orev of a ketuvah is not taken seriously, a kablan of a ketuvah creates a situation that is the equivalent of an orev on a loan. But it does not create a first resort collection. So when you make a kablan for a ketuvah, you then become the equivalent of an orev on a chov. An orev on a chov, the property goes first before the orev, because that's the first orev, first thing. So year two, perhaps Rashi is making that assumption. Okay, again, it's not our sugya, but it's just things to remember, because this is an extremely complex sugya. But for some reason, Rashi holds that even if it were a kablan, we've got to be talking about over here that it would only have been a shibud against the kablan if there were initially property, and therefore you still are not explaining to me what the chiddush would be in saying that the ksuva is collected from ziburit, where there would have been ziburit anyway, and that's all there would have been that we would be able to collect from Yitomim. So, in this case, what are you going to tell me? How did he make himself a kablan? Well, says the Gemara, how do you know there wasn't? Maybe there was property, and something happened to the property. Vishtadov. I mean, maybe the government took the property, or maybe maybe a river overran the property and destroyed the property. I don't know, but I mean, that's exactly the point of having a kabbalah in place with his property, isn't it? The ebayt emo, or, you know what? It's possible that since we're not talking about a normal case here, the case was that Big Daddy took responsibility, right? I mean, can you imagine Richie saying to his kids, you know, it's on me, but not really meaning it's on me. I mean, it's always on me. So over there.
Did he say it, or did it?
No, you don't even have to say it with Richie. He gave him the credit cards. I didn't even ask him anymore.
If there was property, and the son, after the agreement, sold the property, would the wife be allowed to take from the property that he sold?
Yeah.
That would, before he took from the kabbalah.
No, not before he took from the kabbalah. So this, because in this case, kol agabe brei, anybody who is assuring his son's ktuva will be meshabed nafshi. There we take him seriously, and therefore, in this case, we don't get into any of these problems. By the way, since we brought it up, says well, let's just mention on the side itma. Orev di ktuva. A standard arev, a guy, they ask him, will you sign, you know, to guarantee ksuva? That's like, you know, the tnaim. I mean, it takes any of that stuff. Seriously, no money crossed hands. He figures I'm going to lose money because of me. You know, these guys are all partying it up. They think it's all going to be fun and games. You know, they want me to sign. I'll sign, you know. There's no money involved. So there, everybody agrees. The regular arev, there's no shiva. A kablan of a balchov, for sure, is mishtabed. He understands the guy's giving money, and it's on based on his word. Now, the question is, legabe an orev of a balchov, as opposed to a kablan, and a kablan of a ketuvah, how much does he have to take the shibut seriously before he's mishtabed nafshe? There is where we have the machlokes that we just mentioned briefly, which is there's a mandiomer, it's afagav the let le nitse lelove mishtabe, but even though there is no property, he is taking it seriously in his mishabe nafshe, and that's what we're referring to on the bottom of Amud Beis before. Vigal mandiomer, only in the event he eat le mishtabe, be let le lo mishtabe. Now, as far as the halacha is concerned, the halacha is that all of the above four cases, the hilchata bekulu, either an orev of a loan, or a kablan of a loan, or a kablan of a ketuvah, three out of the four cases, even though there are no properties, is b'shabi nafshi, except for the case of an orev of a ketuvah. The orev of the ketuvah is not b'shabi himself, even if there were properties. So that is the one yotze min haklal. We're over there, afagav the itle lo b'shabi. Why is that? Because he's thinking to himself, I'm doing a mitzvah, making everybody happy. Nobody put out any money. Lo mide chaser. What is it? They're relying on me for what? What are they relying on? For getting married? Like heck, they're relying on me for getting married. So therefore, gives him a fixing by John Hancock. What's the big deal? So over there, he's not meshabek nafshein. I can bring you a raya about this story over here of Mazutra's claim that this idea of collecting would be specifically in a case where it's min hayetomim. Look at the ikur takona in the first place, right? What did we say the logic was? Why is it that the ktuvat isha, we had yesterday, Rabbi Shimon's an explanation of logic in that bright. Remember, Rabbi Shimon Derech, time of the Kor, and he went through, how come we say this by the zikin, and how come we say this by by loans, and how come we say this by ktuvat isha? So what did we say? So he said the reasoning is because a woman wants to get married more than the man wants to marry her. So rotza, the isha, yoter mimash ish rotza, rotze, lisa, isha rotza, linase. Now if you're telling me that this takana, like Mazutra claims, is only in a case where you're trying to get it from yetomim, it has nothing to do with that. I understand what you're saying. The reason that you're collecting from Ziburit is because since we're talking about a case of yetomim, you always collect from yetomim at Ziburit. That has nothing to do with yoter b'masha ish. So therefore, I mishum deyat miyumin, that's not the way to say it. Even though ultimately it's true. Why do I say ultimately it's true? Because ultimately, the only reason we need to know it is because even though it's yatme, I might have thought it's different because of chinam. So this could be a tertiary statement. In other words, the reason that we don't collect from anything but is because Mishum Diatmi, which the Gemara is saying, that's the only thing you should have said, Mishum Diatmi, and that's it. But then I would have asked you, but anything from Yatmi is only from Ziburit, and then you would have answered, well, I would have said Mishum Chinah. And then I would have asked you, so why indeed not Mishum Chinah? And then you would have said, because Yoter Mimasha, it said the women don't need this for Chinah. They want to get married, and therefore they'd get married anyway. So on the third level down, this really would have been the correct statement. The point is, however, that the Gemara holds that you can't give this as your opening statement of why it would be from Ziburit and just say Yoter Mima. You would have had to say Mishum Diatmi, because you're collecting from Yetomim, and then down the line you could get to this explanation. And this is such a powerful difficulty that the Gemara is willing to see it as a Tiyufta, the Marzutra Tiyufta. For Marzutra to come up and say that the reasoning is because of the fact that you're collecting from Yetomim, and have Rabbi Shimon not even mention that on his way to explaining my taima in the Braita yesterday is too outrageous. And the Mela, we're giving up on our Zutra, and we are ready to say that Ktuvat Isha is from Ziburit, even when it's not Minayetomi. Tiyufta. Omar Mar Zutra, Bered Rav Nachman, Mishmed Rav Nachman. We have another mimer, Mishmed Rav Nachman, and that is, how far do we go in not allowing collection from Yetomim, from anything but Ziburit, is if you have a shtar chov, you have an actual contract, and that contract says in it, whatever it says, even if it says shekotuv bo shevach, even it says to the original lender, is going to pay you back from the absolute best of his property. That's part of the deal of the loan. Now you're coming to collect from the Yetomim, and you're saying, don't give me this stuff about Yetomim, only collect from Ziburit. The Shtar specified that under all circumstances, I have a right to collect from Edith, okay? So it's a din in the Shtar Gufa. Nonetheless, ain't a gova elamina Ziburit. Omer Abaye, well, I'll prove that to you. Teima. Because, look, a Baal Chov, isn't a Baal Chov supposed to collect from Beinonit, right? That's his din. Now, if the principal dies, he collects from the estate only from Ziburit. Now, the fact that he collects from Beinonit is as if you wrote a Beferish Atnai in the Shtar. I'm making you this loan because I believe I'm going to collect from Beinonit. So, when you go to collect from the guy's heirs, you can't say, well, I mean, you know, everybody knows I was going to collect from Beinonit, and I was assured by my attorneys that you always get to collect the Shtar Chov from Beinonit, and so on. And we tell him, look, sir, that's only if the principal is alive. The guy died, you can't collect from Beinonit. So what's the difference if you wrote Beferish in the Shtar that you're going to collect from Beinonit, or you wrote Beferish in the Shtar I'm going to collect from Edith, whatever you wrote, doesn't matter. In terms of the Yetomim, we will only collect from Ziburit. So it's obvious what Rav Nachman is saying. Of course, we will give you only Ziburit. So teda, because of Baal Chov Mikra Din is Bebeinonit, and therefore it says if it's written in the Shtar, and nonetheless when it comes to collect Miatme, what does he pay? Ziburit, and only Ziburit follows, therefore, Mar Zutra's Limut. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh. Omele Rava, what are you talking about? Well, he asked, well, there's no comparison. The Baal Chov, if you recall, Mi'ikar Hadin only has the right to Ziburit. It's a takona mishum tikun olam that we allow him to collect from Beinonit shelo tino delet bifnei lavin, remember? How do I know that a Baal Chov can only collect from Ziburit? Ula brings a beautiful raya. The Omar Ula, it's clear that min haTorah, Dvar Torah Baal Chov beZiburit. Why? Because the Torah says beferish, somebody has got a loan, the guy isn't paying up, he wants to take a mashkin on the loan. So there we have, again, it's so astonishing how far ahead the Torah is from the world. You know how long it took to make it impossible for somebody to invade somebody else's house if they're police or whatever they are without a search warrant and so on? This is a din midiyoraita. You want to get money, you stand outside B'chutz Tamud. You stand at the guy's door like a little boy, and if he's going to bring you a mashkin, he's going to go into the house and bring you a mashkin. You're not going into that house. And there's no hotel or Paul going into a house.
Search warrant and all that?
Nothing, nothing. You stand at that door, okay? So therefore, B'chutz Tamud, you stand outside. The guy that you want to collect from, he will bring you something of his choice from inside his heart. Amazing. Thousands of years ahead of all of the Umas HaOlam. And now ask yourself, says Ul, I mean, the guy's going to bring out what? The best or the worst? Obviously he's going to bring out the garbage, right? So what do you think the guy's going to bring out? So he's not going to make it easy for you, I guarantee it. Which proves that you're right. You don't have rights to collect in ways that make it easy for you. And therefore, ma tam amru ba'alchov bebeinunit, this is a tikkun olam. It's only kadesh shalot yinol delet b'fnei lovin, right? So now when you're coming to collect from the yitomim, all that we're doing is saying, we don't make a tikkun olam against yitomim. People in general, when they make the loan, they're not thinking about collection from Yitomim. They're thinking about collection from the guy. So the fact that in the event, if he dies, then they're only going to be able to get support, that's not going to be no El Dalet Bifnei Lovin. You don't have to worry about it. So, Gabe Yitomim, Akmur Rabbanan Adiraita. So we leave it the way it was meant to be. Midiraita, as it meant to be, Ziburin, fine, Ziburin. Now, what does that have to do with the case that you're talking about, where a guy writes in a shtar that he has the right to collect from Idit, and you're telling me we're going to cancel the shtar? In this case, Midiraita, he would be collecting from Idit. How do you know he wouldn't collect from the Yitomim Idit? Where do you say that we make a takana mishum tikkun olam for what? For the Yitomim? To violate people's shtarot? Doesn't follow kiyuzet. You bring a raya from nothing. A bunch of hot air. L'rava, v'atani Avram Choza, that explained, Rava. You were talking about a balchov. Fine. How about somebody who is collecting as a nizek? Now you know a nizek that din midiraita is beit, isn't it? It says metav sadeu, metav kamo yishalim. And he is saying that nonetheless, if you're coming to collect from yitomim, you're coming to collect only from ziburit. So you see that you, Rava, are wrong. And in fact, it would be, even when it's Nogea Dioraita, we would take away your rights. So that means that we'll take away your rights that are written in a contract as well? Nah. Not true, says Rava. Because we're talking about, in this case, where Midiraita, you only had a right to collect from Ziburit. Why? Because it was going, I leave the Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that Midiraita, but in Nizik Shaimina. And therefore, our Mishnah came along to say that even though, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, in a case where the Mazik's better property does not have an equal property in the Nizek, so therefore to be able to collect only from the Mazik Ziburit, remember the opening daf of the Perek, that the Mishnah is saying, Mishum Tikkun Olam, you collect from Idit, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, you shouldn't be collecting from Idit in this case, because this guy's property is of much higher quality than the Nisik's property, than those he will collect from it. So once again, says Rava, we're left with exactly the same equation. The Dioraita is, he's supposed to collect from Ziburit. If the guy hadn't died, he would have collected from Idit B'nei Tikkun Olam. Now that we're collecting from the Yitomim, we go back to the Dioraita, we collect from Ziburit. B'nei Tikkun Olam Tikkun Rabbanan, that it should go according to Mazik. Gabeyat Me'akmo Rabbanan Dioraita, just as I said before. Wait a minute, is that true? Any Vatani Rabbi Eliezer Niyuda'a, Eni Ephraim Minichse Yitomim Elam Ziburit, V'afilu Hein Idit. Explain to me these words, but it's absurd. You can only collect from Nitzay Yitomim, from Ziburit, even if they are Idit. That's supposed to mean. I mean, the only way to make any sense out of it is to explain it as the exact case that we're talking about. Namely, Maya Filen Idit, Lav Afa Gav Dechtiv Idit Pishtora, this case. This very case that Rava is fighting against in Mazuta Beret of Dakhri Shmeid Reb Nachma, a shtar chov that specifies I will be repaid in Idit. Afilu hein Idit, even though they're meant to be repaid in Idit, if the guy dies and I present my shtar, the court will only collect from Zipporah. Now, Rav has been fighting the past 10 lines to prove that's not true. Well, we see that it is true. So, that must be Afakav Dichtiv Idit Bishtara. No, that's not what it means. Afilu Hein Idit. What it means is my Idit Shifa'e Idit. Now, there's tremendous machlokas in here among the Rishon, even between Rashi and Tosfos, as to how to understand the intention of the Gemara. Rashi says, when we're talking about Idit, what we really mean is that the case initially was that the shtar, not that the shtar is gova from Idit, but that the idea is that after the hezek, what happened is that the best property was shot. So something happened to it. Right? So now let's say Ishtat Vinar, or the government took it. Again, like the case was said before. So the guy wants to come along and say, okay, so I won't get the creme de la creme, I can't get because it's no longer available. I'll take la creme.
That's his edis now. Hmm? His best is now.
Right? His best now becomes his edis. Is no longer, let's say, edis, let's call it. AA, we'll call edis. This is called edis.
Is it objective?
That gets into how Tosfos understands the subject. That it's nogea, the question of whether it's objective or whether it's relative. Okay, but we'll ignore that for a moment. So Rashi is understanding, you're going to kill that sleep. Rashi is understanding that the idea over here is that even though you would have had a shibud against the very best property, if something happens to that property, you lose your right to the best property. And then you're stuck with collecting only from Ziburi. Right. And why is that? Because we say to the guy, look, at the time of the hezek, you had a lien against the very best. Anything that happens to that very best subsequently is your tough luck, as they say in English. And that's exactly the words that we use. It's mazalcha kagorin. You have a lousy, tough luck in life. So that's, it's mamish, it's amazing. It became that your tough luck. So because you have a lousy mazel, I mean, what happened? All these years, nothing was wrong with this field. All of a sudden, after you get the rights to the field, comes along the government that takes away the field. I mean, come on. It's clearly your tough luck. Once it's your tough luck, now you lose your rights to being able to even insist on eating. Coming to the Yitomim, we're only going to give you from Ziburit. But had it been available, that really there were edits, or it was written in the contract, edits says, Rava, baby, ain't a chinami. You would have been able to collect from Edith, meaning Edith. Cute.
It's a little fair.
That's what Tosfos time is, a little fair. Whoever heard of tough luck being a tiny? What kind of business is this? Not to mention, Tosfos' Iker Taina, which is so clear, is that the Gemara doesn't say that Hacha B'maya Skinan, that something happened to the Edith, but Shafai Edith. The Gemara says, my Edith Shafai Edith. What does it mean, my Edith Shafai Edith? That's not the point. So it's clearly it's changing the nature of how we understand the Edith. That's why Tosfos gets into this whole question of whether Edith is an objective or a relative concept and makes us dependent on that machloket. But fine, we'll take Rashi now and move on. Okay, so therefore Rava says that's what we're talking about over here, Bishafai Edith. Kidarava, the Amar Rava, the Hizik Ziburit, your Govem min Ha'idit. But once Shefai Idit, Govem min Ha'benonit. And by Yitomim, in that case, the Rabbanit said, no, you're going to have to go all the way down to Ziburit. Because now, we're Mukamin and Adioraita, because B'yikratin, the reason your Govem min Ha'benonit, says Rava, is because now you've become a Balchov. Since something happened to the property you were meant to collect from at the time of the hezek, you are now viewed as being owed money, not owed the property, or owed money for the loss of not having been able to collect. Fine. We'll pay you that money, but like any other Balchov, we'll pay you from Beinonit. But as I already explained, a Balchov, because of Ula, really only has the right to Ziburit. And we made it only Beinonit because that's a bit of a Balchov, Shalotinot, Alib, Bifnei, Lovin. But since we're talking about collection from Yitomim, In this case, we leave it at the Ziburit, which would have been the Dioraita. So the concepts are beginning to gel, I hope. We understand the Iker Dinim, Dioraita, and how it is that we're attempting to apply these in various cases of the Atomim. Now, the question is, okay, what do we mean by Yatomim? Are Yatomim, is the meaning against an estate? Are Yatomim minors? And we're attempting to protect minors. Now, there's two very different ways of understanding the entire issue. And here's my question. It said in the Mishnah, ask Rav Achtavoy Bar Ami, what does that mean? Is the Mishnah referring to minor Yatomim, as is often the case? And this is a protection of those minors? Or is it afilo gedolim? Because here's my question, essentially. Is this a tikuna olam, meaning it's a takana to protect minors? So it's a takana to David Rabbana. And gabe yatme liktanim, gabe yatme, so liktanim David Rabbana, ligdolim lo David Rabbana. Or does it have nothing to do with protection of minors? It has to do with the original takana of why are we collecting more than from Ziburit ever. If Maisa, as Gula has pointed out, the Torah leaves it up to you to pay, and you ain't going to pay no edis. So why do we get back to better than just Ziburit? Because it could be that Dilma Nishum de lo Masek Adaita de Malve. The meat loaveh and afle nitzei kameyatme da'avle noel delet. Because remember, what is the whole reason that we brought it back up to Benonit? Shalot yinol delet b'fnei lovi. But it may well be that the basis of the takona took into consideration that psychologically people lend to borrowers without consideration of the possibility of the borrowers dying on him, and they're needing to go to collect from the estate. And therefore, we will not be noel delet bifnei lovin if we allow, in a case of collection against an estate, I don't care how old his children are, maybe 70 years old themselves, but we will not allow collection against an estate to be more than the dioraita simply because it ain't necessary. We don't have to make a takona of collections against a estate in order to allow people to make loans. They'll think to themselves, look, likely it is I'll be able to collect from the guy and he won't die. In the unlikely event that he dies before the collection, all right, so I'll still be able to collect from an estate. No, if I collect from an estate, it's only going to be against Ziburis. Not the end of the world. That much I'm willing to risk, right? So maybe it just is an understanding of the nature of the original takana. If it is, then of course it wouldn't matter how old the Yatomim are. When we say Yatomim, they could be 70-year-old Yatomim, like the Gilbert and Sullivan play, you know. An orphan, you know, the guy's like in his 90s and he's claiming you have to have Rachmim on him, he's an orphan, you know, oy, everybody's crying.
The Diskin home.
Exactly, the Diskin home. Everybody in the Diskin home is an orphan, but they're 90 years old, learning in very long. Yes, one of the early scandals. Yes, I remember that forbidding building. We're sending you the Diskin. Tashma. So let's see if we can bring a riot. Tashma. Gosh, that things have changed. Tashma. The Tani Abaya Kishisha. Yitomim she'amru gedolim. When we talk about Yitomim in the mission, we mean even gedolim. I mean, Eitzer Chlomer, Ketanim, obviously Ketanim. Which means that... Now this is not our mission. This is talking about the din of Ein Govim Minichse Yitomim, unless you make a shvua. And we see that for that takana, there's no difference between gedolim and ketanim. So it's probably the same here in our Mishnah. No, says the Gemara. Well, hold on a minute. The Mahani Minu Linyan Shvua. This is going to, one has nothing to do with the other. The point of making a Shvua is based on what? Why do we need a Shvua? Because they don't have all the paperwork in hand. They don't have all the evidence in hand. And they have no idea what really went on. I mean, you're saying you've got a contract. do we know that, you know, daddy didn't pay you back maybe half of the money before he died and you didn't get a chance to write it down, or he trusted you to keep the car? I mean, I don't know anything. So over there, we're going to make a nafkamina between a katan and a gadol. This is your father's business. It's not your business. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know. So a guy's father dies and he's 70 years old, so that means that he knows what was going on. He still doesn't know what was going on. And that's because Hanimila Nir Shvua. Because even a gadol, in terms of his father's business, the Mila Diavua, is katan dami. He's just like, he's a child for all intents and purposes. He doesn't have any information. So Mamela, we protect him by demanding that a shvuah should be made that no money was repaid to me by your father before he died at any point during this, the loan term. But maybe Lenin Ziburi is the one who has to do with our question. Our question is whether the guy is part, is still a beneficiary of the original takana, and we're only going to protect of Lotin on Delapifne Lotin, and we're only going to protect Ketanim and not Gedolim. What's wrong? So maybe Lenin Ziburi is low. Okay, L'maisa says the Gemara Hilchata, Yitomim she'amru in our Mishnah are Gedolim, the Ein Tzarek Lomer Ketanim, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the Sugya of Shmua or whether we're talking about the Sugya of Ziburit. In terms of these issues, it's exactly the same. Then we said, Ein Yifrei Minachasim Mishu'ubadim B'makom She'esh B'nei Chorin. Okay, we cannot go to collect from properties that have already been purchased if anything is available. Even though what is available is only Ziburit, the guy can't say, hey, this is not fair. When I made the loan, you had a much better property, which was Beinonit, and my loan was against Beinonit, and therefore I want to collect from the buyer of the Beinonit because my lien came first. The point is that Mibnei Tikkun Olam was saying over here, you cannot go and fight a buyer if there's some option left against the principal. So this makes property sales obviously a lot easier in terms of title insurance and so on. Good. So that's the takana. Now, the question that Rav Achtavoy Barami raised is, how about a gift? How about if the principal gifted the property that had the Beinonit lien against it, right? Leaving behind only a Ziburit property, and now the lender says, you mamzer, you knew very well that this property was the one I was going to be able to collect. You go ahead and give it as a gift just to get it away from me. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys have got a deal behind the scenes and you get it back.
The shibud on it.
Yes, I have a lien. That's it. Why can't I collect? Well, you have a right to go around and give a gift. You know. So I'm asking, b'matana, what would be the din? Hey, Takantu David Rabbanim Mipshum Pseida de Lekuchot. Is this entire thing focused only on the fact that people who are spending money on property require protection? This guy is the beneficiary of a gift, had not spent any money, and therefore there's nothing to collect, to protect. Tanada Lekup Pseida de Lekuchot Lo. What's there to protect? Oh, Dilma, or are we a little bit more cynical than that? And do we believe that when somebody gives a matana, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch? And the reason that this guy gave a matana is because he owes. He may owe big. Now, the fact that we're not familiar on top of the table with what's going on and why this property is being transferred has nothing to do with it. We don't really believe that people make gifts. They make gifts as repayment of something. So therefore, Ilav Yitleana Amine, if he wouldn't be getting something in exchange, he would not have given this gift. So the fact that it's a gift, I don't know if that's for tax purposes, it's a gift. If they were drug dealers and were pretending it's a gift, what do I know? But I need to protect your ability to transfer property across the board, whether that's for money that's on top of the table or whether it's for some kind of exchange of benefits that's under the table. That's my question. Brilliant question. Right, so how far is the Tikkun Olam? If indeed we're taking into consideration that any transaction contains within it back and forth, so then it's the equivalent to Pseidet Lekuchot, because the beneficiary of the gift was being repaid, essentially, for something. I will bring you a raya, a fascinating raya, Tashma. Here is a Shchiv Meira. Now, the Shchiv Meira were writing down this last will and testament of this guy, and he says, give 200 zuz to A, and 300 zuz to B, and 400 zuz to C. We do not say in that case that the order of A, B, C is significant. He didn't say, and after you give 200 to A, give 300 to C. He just said, give. Now, you can't say two names at once, so the order we don't view as being in any way significant, and therefore, ein omrim kol hakodem b'shtar zocha, we don't say that first, depending on the amount of money that's available, we would give to A, and then if there's money left, we give to B, and so on. What we do is we prorate the entire money that is available according to the 200, 300, 400, and prorate it to, well, you only get 78% because there wasn't enough to cover all of these gifts, right? Okay, so let's say a shtar chov would be yotze against a property where we thought we had enough money and now somebody else is coming to collect. That someone who collects against all of them, and then they'll split whatever is left in a prorated fashion. So then, in that case, yatzalav shtar chov govem mikulam. However, if the guy said, first give 200 to A, and then give 200 to B, and acharav give to 300 to C, and so on, so then 400 to C, so then the acharav definitely means that the placement is significant, and the guy's not sure how much money is going to be left in his estate. And what he's saying is, if you have money left over, then give to the next guy, and so on and so forth. So then we do say, kol hakodim b'shtar zakha. Therefore, in the case that there was a shtar chov against what we thought we were going to collect from, the first one to lose out is the last guy. So we'll be govim in acharon. If there's still not enough in being govim in acharon, ein lo, will be goveh from the property that was before his. And if not, will be goveh in the property that is before that one. And only then we will hit number one. Now, the weakness of this argument is that my kashisha, Bereder of Chista, believes that what we've been talking about is where there was a property that was meshubah to A, a property meshubah to B, and a property meshubah to C. And what we're saying over here, by telling us that the Baal Chov will collect, it means that the Baal Chov will collect irregardless of the property, right? So that means, let's say A had Beinonit, the last one had Ziburit, right? Batra Ziburit, what will we collect? We'll collect from the last one. The last one being Ziburi. And over here, these are beneficiaries of gifts. So apparently, even where it was gifted, the property was gifted to Mr. A, that's enough to protect Mr. A, who was the one that had the property that should have been collected from. And in fact, we will collect from Mr. C. Okay, so what do you see from there? Exactly this case. That we have the same takona about a gift in the case of the Shechit Merah that we would have in a purchase. So Shema Amina b'matana nami ovid rabbana takanta. It's a very cute proof. Really cute. Finally, the extension understanding that beneath this has got to lie an answer to Vachtavoy. I mean, it's really brilliant. But it's easy for us to get out of this proof. Because what we could say is that maybe what we're talking about is these people were all creditors. Who's to say that these are gifts? Maybe we're talking about creditors, the Baal Chov. Well, what do you mean? I mean, he said give. Doesn't give mean give a gift? No. Tnu could mean tnu b'chovi. Give in exchange for my debt. Well, I don't understand. So then, why don't we just look at whose debt was earlier? I mean, now you've made it a ridiculous case. What does it matter what he says, A, B, C? What matters is what the date is in the shtar of the loan, right? So let's say shtar adaman kadim. Why don't we take a look at the shtar? No. It's not talking about that it was a loan based on a shtar. It was a loan baal peh, like a shtar. What do you mean, like a shtar? Didn't you say the first one in the shtar is the one that we give to... Oh, come on, you know that doesn't mean the shtar of a loan, for God's sake. That means the first one in the shtar pakadata, the first one in the will. Obviously. We're not talking about the loan. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's talking about matana. But maybe the point is lokasha. My govem in acharon. It doesn't mean we collect a particular property. Who say we collect a particular property? Maybe the idea over here is whatever the heck the property is you're collecting. I don't know. Ziburi is paid. I'm not getting into that issue. whatever property was collected, we now go back and we prorate the others. I mean, we don't prorate the others. We go in order with the others in this second case. So the only one that's going to lose if there's still, if you're able to pay back with the, only with the last guys, is the last guy. Maybe that's all it means. Doesn't say which property you could take. Or do I know that we're talking about different properties? But for God's sake, you make this such a complicated case. Maybe the case is there only to illustrate the meaning of a tava. And we're talking about that all the properties are the same quality. And don't give me a Bubba Mises that we meant to include in this halacha every possible variation, a noisen, a matona, a difference of a balchov, a question of whether there's shtara. Then there's nothing here but what you read. And that's it. What you see is what you get. And this has nothing to do with the question that was raised about protecting gifting. Daf Nun. Bikablan. Well, any chalamani or kablan, I forgot to let you say the love mishtabe. You've got an answer. Shop. But how about lamani omer only if he eat le mishtabe? He let the lo mishtabe. My chalamema. I don't know. Maybe there was property. But I have a mishtaduf. Or maybe this is unique because it's Richie. And kol agabe brain, she put him in shabbat nafshe. Itma. Or if the ktuva, divrei kol lo mishtabit. Kablon de balchov, divrei kol is mishtabit. Where do we have a machloket about an orev of a balchov and a kablon of a ktuva as to what the circumstances would be of shiva? There we have pligi. Ikla bandi omar afgav, the letle nifse, the love will be mishtabit. Ikla bandi omar only if itle mishtabit, iletle lo mishtabit. Turns out halacha, in all cases, whether it's Orev or Kablan, Afagav the Letlehi is Mishtabed, except for one case. And that is the Orev Ktuva, who is not Mishtabed at all, even if there is property. Afagav Yitle, lo Mishtabed, my Taima. In his mind, he's just being a good guy. Mitzvah the Avid. Nobody lost any money. Nobody's relying on him for doing anything. So what do I care? I'm Ravina Tashma. Take a look at Bikar, the Takantin. What's the Takana about? That Yoter Mimasha Ishrotza Lisa, Isha Rotza Lina said, it's what Rabbi Shimon said. And if you're going to tell me we're only talking about Miyatme, then why doesn't it say Mishum Deyatme? The Yufta Marzutra, the Yufta. Even if it says beferish that it's meant to be collected with shevach against the best property, well, of course, teda, because any balchov is ikar din is bebeinanit, and it's as if it's written in the shtar bebeinanit, and miyat me only collects miziburit. I'm like, Rav, that's silly. Okay, hashta, a balchov really minioraitas din is beziburit. Kiduula. The Amar Ruvat Var Torah Balchov is of course busy boring. Shema bechutz ta'amod va'isha she'atano shebo yotzei lecha ta'avod. So obviously it's going to be busy boring. Ma darkos shelishlotzi pachot shebekelin umatam amru that a Balchov is b'beinanit. We made as a tikkun olam kedei shelotino delek b'fnei lovin. But Gabe Yatme, they didn't make a takana against Shitomim, and they left it on the Dioraita. But over here, the Dioraita is beidit, if it is so specified. So, Hachakiva, the Dini Dioraita beidit, maybe Miyatme Nami beidit. Wait, and according to Rava, how does he explain the Braita of Avram Choza, that Ein Nifraim Minitse Yitomim, Ela Minaziburit, Afilo Ein Nizakin, I mean, for heaven's sake, Nizakin. Is Midiraita Bidi? Does it say Meitav Sadeu? Not necessarily, says Rava. Because Achmai is going to try to eat the Nizik as he brought the Mazik, and I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. He holds that Midiraita we would only collect from Ziburit because of the Nizik Shamina. It's just that as our Mishnah said, Midai Tikkun Olam Tekin Rabban and Mazik, Gabe Yatmi Abu Rabban and Midiraita, just like I said before by the Balchov. Eini, Votani Rabbi Elazar Niyotah. The afilo eni deed, which of course sounds ridiculous. I mean, what would it mean? My afilo eni deed, lav afal gab, that it says beferish idit b'shtora. No, Maya. Afilo eni deed means even where there's a case of shafai idit. Kid Rava, the Amarava. If you were hizik ziburit, you still go vemina idit. But if something happened and shafai idit, you'd be back to being government of Benonit. And therefore, Gabe Yatme, Ramon and Adioraita, and tough luck, as we said. Any frame, Minichse Yetomim, Elamin, Ziburin, Poyravach, Tavoy, Barami. Yitomim shamru ktanim, or if you look dolim, is it a takanta d'ovid rabbanan gabi yatmi to protect them, and therefore l'ktanim ovid rabbanan, l'gdolim lo ovid rabbanan, or is it a completely different point? It's mishum de lo matzik adayte v'malve, he's going to have to worry about a case where mit love, and then nafli mitzik amin yatmi, then it would have been noel dolet b'fnei lovin, but there is no noel dolet b'fnei lovin. Hilkach afil gedolim nami. Toshma, Tani Abaya Kishisha, Yitomim Shamru Gedolim, Ein Tzarich Lomar Ketanim. Now that was in reference to the din of Ein Nifroim Minichsi Yitomim Ela B'Shvu'ah. Says the Gemara, well, maybe that's only talking about that case. Because the Mahana Milin Shvu'ah, because a Godol, the Mili de Avu is the equivalent of a cotton. He doesn't have any data. But as far as Ziburis, what does that have to do with it? Ziburis, maybe not. But the halach is that Yitomim Shamru, both of these cases, it doesn't matter. There is mit gedolim, and obviously it's a lot of tanim. Whether we're talking about the case of shvua or whether we're talking about the case of ziburi, ein nifreim min echasim mishu badim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin boi rach tavoi baram. What would be the din of a matana? Hey, I can't do the rabbanon only because of pesed lekuchot. Av a matana, where you don't have pesed lekuchot. Or do we say, let's be serious, guys? Dilu matana nami lav the idle ana amine. Why would he have given a matana? So for all intents and purposes, there's still a pesed lekuchot. Omele mark shishu bereid rochis ravashi tashma. Shchiv mira shamar tulu matayim zilponi shalosh meslponi arba meslponi. In omrim kol hakodem b'shtar, and of course, as we see later, this means kol hakodem b'shtar of the will. That is, it would be zocha, and therefore the orders of no significance. L'fichach yatzalav shtar chov govim mikulan in a prorated fashion. Avol im amar tulu matayim zilponi and only acharav leploni and only acharav yet leploni. Then indeed it's very significant. In that case, if Yatzalav Shtarchov, only the last guy is the one that's going to be losing, and we're going to go from an Achron. If it's insufficient, we go back to the one before. If it's still insufficient, then only and then go Vabishalafanab. The Afagav, now it doesn't mean even though the Kama was Beinonit and the Batz was Ziburit, he's stuck with Ziburit, even though what we're talking about is a gift, right? No. No, it's not a gift. It's balechov. But the guy said tnu. Yeah, tnu bechovi, obviously. Well, then what does it have to do with what he said first? Let's say shtar deman kari. There is no shtar. But you said kol hakodem b'shtar ka'om. Come off it. That means a shtar pekadet, obviously. It could be it's talking about a matana, like you said. But when it says gove mina achron, only means ein nifsad el achron. It's nothing to do with which property you gove. Well, you know what? Maybe there isn't any difference in properties. You might give it a shavakulu la adi.